Okay.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Saturday Mornings with Joy Keyes. I'm your host, Joy Keyes. I want to thank you for listening to the show this morning. We're talking with nurses improving health in minority communities by creating a greener environment. And I want to let some people know there's some technical difficulties this morning with Blog Talk Radio. We are expecting two other callers, Neva White, that should be calling in, and Constance Summer, but there's some technical difficulties this morning with Blog Talk Radio, so I want to apologize to the listeners for that. But we do have Teresa Mendez Quigley with us, and Teresa is the Director of Environmental Stewardship at the Women's Health and Environmental Network. Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning, Joy. Thank you for having us. We appreciate
the opportunity. Thank you for waking up on Saturday mornings. I know a lot of people are sleeping in. That's their day off. So I want to just extend my thanks again for you coming on. And Neva had come on before the show with the show talking about diabetes issues, and she was wonderful. And I'm glad to hopefully have her back this morning again as long as we can get the other callers on. But this morning I'm talking with three hopefully wonderful nurses about their work in the community, and specifically in minority communities. Unfortunately, we know with a lot of health issues, minority communities, there's disparities on either their care, their knowledge about different health issues, the treatment that they receive or that they go get, they delay their treatment, and the knowledge, again, about what's going on in their environment and how their environment affects their health issues, from asthma, lead paint, mercury in fish. What's the difference between organic food and quote-unquote regular food that you get? So, Teresa, why don't you tell me about some of the work that you're doing, and I know you have a training session coming up next week.
Right, sure. Well, I'll mention the training session first and then talk about a little bit more about what we do. The program is the Nurses Championing the Health of Minority Communities Through a Greener Environment, which will be held Saturday, August the 22nd from 8:30 a.m. till 12:30 p.m. at Jefferson in the Blumley Life Sciences Building in Philadelphia. And the program is coordinated by a partnership among three organizations. One of them is the Theta Chapter of Chi Eta Phi Sorority, Incorporated. The other one is Women's Health and Environmental Network, or WHEN for short, and Thomas Jefferson University Hospital's Office to Advance Population Health. And the three organizations are working together so that we can talk about these issues and how what's going on in the environment around us, whether it's the air, the water, the land, things going on inside our homes or what we put into our bodies actually can impact health. And we recognize that there's so many important new scientific research that supports that link between environmental exposures and impacts on health. And what we wanted to do is to make sure that this information is being able to get into minority communities as well.
So now let's start with some basic things. I know lead paint is an issue in communities, and people getting their children tested at different ages for lead in their systems. Is that something that you'll be talking about at this workshop?
Well, fortunately, in the Philadelphia area, we have a great child lead program that has addressed lead significantly. And so this program will be focusing on are three key issues. One is the body burden, what is going on in terms of ingredients that we apply to our bodies through personal care products or things that we put into our hairs, into perfumes, things that are unknown and usually
could be harmful.
supposedly innocent, and
right.
We're buying and using, and we know now that there are things that are impacting health and can raise our risks for various cancers, let's say.
So what are some things? For example, hair shampoo, nail polish, cleaning supplies. Give me some examples. I think I'll be able to get some callers on now, I see. Good morning.
Sure.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Yes, hi.
Hi, this is Neva White. How you doing?
Hi, I'm good. I'm sorry, this was completely out of my control. This was Blog Talk Radio, and I wanted to apologize. I see one other caller here. Good morning. Okay, I'm still not able to get them. But Neva, this is Neva White. She's actually the coordinator for this morning's program, in a sense. She was on the show before talking about diabetes with Angie Stone, singer Angie Stone. And Neva is a regional director of community health at Thomas Jefferson University Hospital. She's responsible for community-based health promotion and disease prevention projects. Sorry. Thank you again for coming on, and I apologize for the technical difficulties this morning.
Well, thank you for having us.
Yes, she was just talking about personal care products. Teresa was talking about personal care products and how they can affect the body. Teresa, go ahead. Why don't you continue that thought?
Well, and that's Connie Sumner actually will be addressing that in the next week's program and talking about how a lot of these products may have ingredients that if you look at them, most people don't even understand what those ingredients are and how they impact health. And so we assume when we go to buy them that they're safe because we're allowed to purchase them, and then we apply them. But we know that there are items like phthalates that can impact our health, and there are most people don't even know that they exist. They exist in nail polish and perfumes, in body lotions, and multiple other problems.
Are there safe lotions, nail polishes that people can use? And if so, where could they purchase them?
Sure.
Good morning. I think we got Constance. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Connie.
Oh, good. Great. Thank you. Again, apologize for the delay in getting you on. Again, it was technical difficulties with Blog Talk Radio. I just want to let the audience know. This is Constance Summer. She's an RN and she has an MSN, and she has a long career path in nursing. She's a clinical practice, done administrative, education, and research. She currently teaches and lectures for Keystone Mercy Health Plan, the Wellness Community, Fox Chase Cancer Center. She talks about breast cancer, prostate cancer, colorectal cancer, chemotherapy administration, and a lot of other issues. Thank you for joining us, Connie.
No problem. I've been on the call since you guys started. I guess I just couldn't get through because of the technical difficulties.
Yes, it wasn't allowing me to choose the callers, unfortunately. But Teresa was saying that you're going to be talking about these personal products that people are using and they're unaware of the toxins that are inside of them.
Right. There's this new concept, well, it's not new, but there's a concept called body burden. Make it right as soon as you can. And what that means is that we have so many chemicals in our body, man-made and non-man-made, and we're getting these chemicals not only from the environment but from personal products that we use. And it's affecting our occurrence of various diseases, especially breast cancer, and especially for women, but more specific, however, to African-American women under the age of 45. For some reason, these personal care products and our particular choices are putting us at a higher risk for breast cancer in that younger age bracket, which was kind of unusual about 3 decades ago.
So I was asking Teresa, where can people buy products that are safe? Where can African-American women buy products that are safe? And specifically, do you know what products? Is it hair relaxers? Is it body lotions? Is it shampoos? What is affecting African-American women in terms of breast cancer?
To answer your question, I'm sorry, I'm just in the car, and so I'm in and out. But in terms of the products, it's a range of products, but for African-American women, one specifically that we tend to use, we're going to Wachovia, is hydroquinolone, which is a skin lightener, and that is a problem in terms of putting us at risk for cancer. The products that we put in our hair to make our hair grow or to make our hair straight, the chemicals in them also interact with our body. Certain shampoos, certain deodorants, but the key variable in all of these products is that when these chemicals, all of them, get in our body, they react with our own natural estrogen. And see, estrogen is the factor here. because estrogen kind of stimulates at least 90% of breast cancers. So what happens is when we put all these chemicals in our body,
it's like a trigger.
Yeah, we're basically supersizing our own natural estrogen at an earlier age, and that in and of itself puts us at risk for breast cancer.
Okay.
So
now
it's a lot of information, but I'll let you go ahead and ask me a specific question.
That's okay. I wanted to bring Neva into the conversation. Good morning again, Neva.
Good morning.
So are you going to be doing a workshop at the training session? And if so, what specific topic will you be talking about?
Yes, specifically I'm going to be talking about nurses and what nurses can do in the workplace to at least boost up the awareness as to what we're doing in the hospitals that can contribute to some of this environmental risk. So my piece is really going to be directed to the nurses and trying to get the nurses to start thinking about some of the things that they may have not been aware of.
What are some things that you think nurses aren't aware of that could help improve the environment and then in turn improve the health of people in hospitals?
Well, if you just take the hospital environment, there's a lot of things that we use. I mean, something as simple as basins and pans, different kinds of equipment that we use could be made out of plastics that are leaching certain products, certain contaminants. The way that we dispose of waste, medical waste, and just some of the things that are going on in the hospital that we can really look at and try to make the hospital environment a little bit more greener.
So you said in terms of different products that machinery is made of. Now, do hospitals have guidelines in terms of products and how they affect the environment? Is there some kind of policies that could be created in terms of the government, in terms of state or city or federal level, that could mandate hospitals to use environmentally or green machinery? Are you aware of that?
There is, and Teresa can chime in on this as well, are not any policies in place per se that would prevent the use of certain products, but we would hope that we could begin to bring awareness to these products as key ingredients such as things like PVC, things that we know have been linked to health issues that, basins are made out of, tubing, IV bags.
And what do they do to the people? I mean, what is the effect on the human because of the use of these products? Is it increasing cancer? Is it increasing cardiovascular issues, neurological issues? What exactly are these products doing?
All of the above. There are studies to suggest that these materials are linked to a vast amount of medical issues, as well as cancer and birth defects. It's very interesting also to some of the chronic medical conditions that we're experiencing, such as diabetes. There's been some link that perhaps there have been some environmental contaminants that are putting certain groups of people at higher risk for these conditions. The problem is we haven't done enough studies in this particular area to really identify and point directly at, the linkages. We have linkages, but we don't know specifically. We can't say that this causes this, but when we look at people, we look at situations, we look at environmental factors, there is strong evidence to suggest that these contaminants
are affecting
problem.
Now, why do you, I want to bring Teresa in the conversation. Now, why do we think that it's affecting minority communities more than, I'd say, Caucasian communities? Why is that? Is that the people in minority communities, minorities, African American, Latino, Asian, Native American, are they not reaching out? Are they not, don't have knowledge? Or is it that information is not getting to them and they want it? I mean, what's happening? Why is the disparity?
That's a great question. And that's one of the questions that has been posed time and again, and I don't think that there is one answer. We know that within minority communities there's health disparities. We know that there's when they do have access, they get diagnosed later for a number of different diseases, including breast cancer, including lupus, and other diseases, even heart diseases. So we don't know what is going on. We know that there are multiple studies and indicators, but there's no one single answer. What we're trying to do is say, using the nurses, and especially those who are living, working, or volunteering within minority communities, to come in, learn about these issues, and then take this back to those communities, because we're not isolated. AIR does
right.
not just affect white mm-hmm. communities or black communities. It affects everybody, but it does, unfortunately, affect us disproportionately. Because
now, do you think that, I mean, there's an issue... I'm sorry,
minority,
I think there's an issue of trust.
Low-income people tend to live in communities where there are fewer resources or
yes.
there's more contaminants and air pollution or landfills. And
mm-hmm.
so if we can engage nurses and other professionals to come to this program and take this back and have informal discussions, maybe at a house party, maybe in church, maybe
mm-hmm.
in formal presentations, we're
yes.
hoping that people will be better informed and armed and be able to make smarter, safer choices.
Now, you also talk about the issue of sustainable food. That's going to be discussed. Are any of you doing a workshop on that, or do you want to, any of you want to bring some more information to the table this morning to talk about what do you mean by sustainable food, empower the audience about that?
Sure. Well, when we talk about the current food system is based on an industrialized food system. And when we talk about sustainable being, that means to have the ability to meet the needs of the current generation without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their own needs. And in food, we want it to be produced in an ecologically sound, economically viable, and socially responsible way so that it's better for the workers, for the farmers, for the consumers, and for the planet.
So this is dealing with possibly locally grown food. You're talking organic food. Is that the path you're trying to go down here?
All of that.
Mm-hmm.
that. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not just one of those things. And we're all struggling economically to make
yes.
choices about how we eat. But if we can learn what are some of the safer foods and what
mm-hmm.
are the things that you really need to purchase more pesticide-free. When we talk about organics and food, we're talking about making sure that they're pesticide-free.
Right, right.
Whether we can make choices about what milk to drink, how our food is produced
mm-hmm.
actually impacts our health. And so if there is arsenic in the chicken feed, that is not eliminated.
That's a serious issue, yeah,
that
definitely.
That is assumed eventually. If
right.
we're drinking water, what kind of water we are consuming actually impacts not only ourselves, but the rest of the community.
Mm-hmm.
So
now, I want to bring Connie and Neva into the conversation. What about the issue of asthma? And you're talking about air pollution and a lot of minority communities, as you said, in terms of economically maybe living in poorer areas, which has congested a lot of traffic and pollution. And I know that definitely African Americans suffer asthma at a greater children suffer at a greater rate. Are you going to be talking about that issue and how that can be improved, maybe planting more trees, more green spaces? Connie or Neva, you want to talk about that?
This is Connie. We're not going to specifically address the asthma component, but we will address some of the things that we can do because of the fact that as minorities, many of us live in these urban areas where there isn't a lot, you know, there are not a lot of trees. There is a lot of pollution, but some of the things that we bring into the home contributes to the asthma rate in our children. For example, the hair sprays, the deodorizers that we're spraying around. Please, if anybody has Febreze, throw it in the trash. It's the worst thing spraying around your house. What you need to do is clean your house, and then you won't need Febreze to cover up the odor.
Well, that's a very serious issue. I know that in terms of cleanliness, and I don't want to gross anybody out, but I know that roaches and mice droppings also can affect asthma. Is that correct?
That is true.
Is this Neva? Okay.
Yeah, this is Neva talking. That is true. And it's interesting because the droppings can hang around for time and time again, and there could be even allergic reactions to the residue of animals and of their droppings. One of the things I wanted to mention was our Sisters in Charge project, where we went out, we are going out into the community, and actually we did it on a church level, going out to the churches and really getting African American women to understand not just products but ingredients. Our thing is that we really want to be able to identify certain ingredients, because things change, products change, but the ingredients stay the same. And then we want to begin to help people to understand these names, these chemicals, so that they can choose wiser products. We know that a lot of things are cheap. A lot of things are cheaply manufactured.
Well, people buy cheap food and they buy cheap products because they don't have a lot of money, and especially now we're in the middle of a recession. So, I mean, that's a big issue for people who maybe want to live greener, but it's the greener products, or say organic food, that are more expensive. And it's so very frustrating to me that in a lot of African-American communities, I'm sure Latino communities, similar issue, Native American communities, the issue of fresh food, fresh fruits, fresh vegetables, whole grains. I mean, these are basic things, basic foods, nothing elaborate, you know, no fancy restaurant, that people just don't have access to, or they don't have the money to purchase on a regular basis. They may be able to purchase one time, maybe when they get their checks, you know, they could, you know, that week. But then after that, they're living, you know, on the cheap, high sugar cereals. And I see kids all the time walking around the high schools with the little juicy, sugar water, I call it. I mean, what do you tell people in terms of economically they're not able to live greener? I mean, is there something that they can do?
The other thing too is that in most of these neighborhoods that you just mentioned, there is no supermarket, and a lot of the supermarkets that are in the area, they don't always have an abundance of fresh fruits and vegetables.
Yes.
And so it's very difficult to be healthy when you are poor, because you make the wrong choices. You buy the canned food instead of, like, if you have to make a choice between fresh, frozen, and canned, of course you want fresh, and then of course you want locally grown or organic. But if you have to make the choice as you go down the chain, you want frozen, not canned. And so there are a lot of things that we're going to bring in terms of practicality and practical solutions for the poor and for minorities, so that they can make better choices. Even the idea of starting a garden at the vacant lot down the street from you. So there's a lot of things that we can do to empower people to be healthier.
That's great. I think the lot issue is great. We have about 7 minutes left, and that is a very important issue. There's a different farmers markets and things that people are bringing into minority communities to help people with that issue. That yes, there are supermarkets, there are corner stores, but they don't have the fresh food, or the fresh food is out of range. I guess I had a show recently about childhood obesity, and you know, whose fault is this rise in childhood obesity? And one of the doctors on the show really talked about, just because that you don't have a lot of money doesn't mean you can't eat properly. You know, just because you don't have a lot of money doesn't mean you can't eat properly. You know, rice, you know, brown rice, you know, fruits and vegetables, like you said, the whole grains, you could have whole wheat pasta. You're not talking fancy stuff, you know, in terms of chicken or fish. Fish is a little more expensive, but in terms of chicken, ground turkey, instead of beef, maybe, I'm not sure. So I mean, it is still about choices that people have to make, and just because you don't have a lot of money doesn't mean you can't eat healthy. I mean, there are poor people around the world, and they're not obese. You know what I'm saying?
I think one of the things that we will be addressing, too, is that there are things that choices individuals can make. However, the system, the way it's set up, is not always conducive for individuals to make those smarter choices, because you have to understand that if you don't have a supermarket in your neighborhood, that's not something that you as an individual can change. that we have to be part of finding solutions. And
well, can they go to their council people, their local council people? I mean, I think that people need to be more politically engaged and use the resources that they do have in terms of, okay, I don't have a supermarket in my area. I have to go 10 blocks, or I maybe have to jump a ride with somebody, or I have to get the bus, and I'm carrying, you know, 5,000 bags from 10 miles away. Maybe they can talk to their council people. Maybe they can send a letter to the mayor. You know, what are some solutions that people could do to bring in fresh fruits and vegetables? Is there going to be, that's a question I have. Are you going to have a website or some place that people can go to learn? I know, Neva, you said you're going into churches, but today on the show, is there some place you could tell people to go to learn about these toxins that are in these daily products that they're using?
Teresa, you want to refer them to your WEN website? You want to talk about
sure.
that?
Thank you. Thank you, Neva. WEN.org, that's W-H-E-N, as in Nancy.org, stands for the Women's Health and Environmental Network. We're based in the Philadelphia area, and we've been working for the past 12 years to look at all of these issues, and we have a number of resources there as well as links on our website. So,
is there a phone number that people can call?
Sure. It's 215-990-1271.
That's great. And then let's talk about your training session again. They're going to be having a training next Saturday, August 22nd, 8:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. It's at Thomas Jefferson Bloomley Life Sciences Building. Is that correct? Room 101. And
if anyone is interested in coming, although the program is directed to nurses, we invite people who have an interest in the topic to come. And
okay.
if they would like to come, all they need to do is call 1-800-JEFF-NOW, J-E-F-F-NOW, N-O-W, and they can register. It is a free program.
Okay, again, that's next Saturday, August 22nd, 8:30 a.m. This is at 10th and Locust Streets in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Again, I just want to mention that today, thanking Teresa Mendez-Quigley. She is the Director of Environmental Health Stewardship at Women's Health and Environmental Network. She just mentioned their website, which is wen.org, correct, Teresa?
Yes, thank you.
And Neva White, she's the Regional Director of Community Health at Thomas Jefferson University Hospital. I really want to thank her overabundantly for coming on this morning, putting up with technical difficulties. Neva was on another show I did in reference to diabetes, and I'm sure I'll have her on some future show. I want to thank both of you again for coming on this morning and talking about this important issue. There's so many things that people are burdened with today, from money issues to their health issues to their safety of their children. And a lot of times people get overwhelmed, but hopefully your workshop next week will enlighten not only nurses, but individuals who are interested in coming about these various issues. And your WEN.org website, that's a great thing to have because, again, people are burdened with so many things, and at their leisure they could go to your website and look up these resources and toxins. We have about a minute left. Again, I want to thank both of you for coming on. Are there any closing words that you have to people, things they should watch out for, Neva or Teresa?
I just want, and don't forget about Connie, just wanted to say that I think when we think about all this stuff, getting back to basics is the safest thing to do. Getting back to basics, home remedies, things that we used to do that were more simple. Usually,
Teresa? I'm sorry. I
would agree. And making, you can't always afford the high-end foods, but you can make choices about what are safer. And there's an opportunity to choose a few products that are safer in terms of foods. And we'll be talking about what foods are safest to eat next week as well.
That is great. And again, her website is wen.org, and next week it's August 22nd at Thomas Jefferson University. If you're interested in coming, you do not have to be a nurse. It's 1-800-JEFF-NOW to register for the training session. I want to thank you. I think Connie got cut off. She
okay.
was driving. So please extend my thanks to her and appreciation. Thank you to the listeners for joining me this morning. If you have any questions for me, you can email me at SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com. Again, that's SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com. And don't forget to mark the show a favorite. Next week, we're going to be talking to Israeli entrepreneur Shai Reshef. He is the founder and president of the University of the People. It will be the first world's tuition-free online academic institution. He was written up in Fast Company, he's been in New York Times, he's been in a variety of media. Please join me next Saturday, August 22nd, 11 a.m. Eastern, to talk with Shai Reshef, founder and president of the University of the People. Thank you, Teresa. Thank you, Neva. And everyone, you have a wonderful weekend, and be safe. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared. It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest.
I feel like I'm choking.
Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
You know how to react to their asthma attacks. Here's how to prevent them. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. Visit www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA and